I would say you've got 3 minutes, and then at the 15-minute mark, I would say you've arrived at the time, and then you can keep talking and going as long as you want, but then you'll at least know where you are in the process.
So you're going to interrupt her speaking?
Yeah, and again, we don't have to stop the process. I'll just say 3 minutes, and then I'll say time.
Don't lose
track of time and then say, oh, my gosh, I don't have any time left.
Thank you so much. Next item is presentation by AFSCME. If you're ready, please proceed.
Yes, what we presented to y'all was what y'all had asked for was a new pay scale, getting our people up to our surrounding counties and competitive, and what we have to go to in the 15. Got to get to the $15 minimum, so we have to see what it is and what it's going to take to get there. As you know, like we're in our surrounding counties, we're below or in the middle. We're kind of just depending on the category we're in. Since in October, whatever, there's been some new money added that's come to our y'all side now that would be paid for through Schoolway Cafe. So that's some new money that we got that's going to be added to the funds. And we're just trying to get our people up to poverty level, because right now, if it's a one person, if they have no children, poverty level we know is at $13,500. If we went to the pay scale that I presented to you, our people in Schoolway Cafe would still be $4,000 below poverty level. So that's what, you know, we're trying to get our people a little bit above. Then right now they're making about $7,800 is the average of a Schoolway Cafe person, because they're only 4 hours a day.
I also want to bring to attention, first of all, thank you for this opportunity to speak to the board. We are amply represented by Kathy Knowles and Will DeRozier, President and Vice President of Local 850, but they want me to mention a couple of other items. One, we all know inflation and how it's hit us. It's now at the last CPI that came out was 7.5, and we need help. The problem is, as employees, the only place we can come to help is to you, our employer. One of the items that we need you to look at is compare yourselves, what you're paying your employees, to the surrounding school districts here in surrounding Volusia County. For example, bus drivers, you start them at $13 an hour, Flagler at $15, Seminole at $16.53. Mechanics, you guys start them at $14.34. This is experienced. Certified mechanics, you start them at $14.34, Seminole starts them at $20. Food service managers, you start them at $17, Flagler at $19.87, and Seminole at $26.35. Bus attendants, you start them at $10.24, Seminole starts them at $12.79. Volusia County is one of the lowest paid counties in the area. You have in each one of your departments, each one, whether it be maintenance, mechanics, bus drivers, attendants, food service, you have vacancies. You can't fill. You cannot attract people, okay? We need you to take that into consideration in your debates concerning increases. And this deeply affects the welfare of the public. You have to have enough employees, sufficient employees, in your different categories in our bargaining unit. You need to feed them, so you need enough people in the cafe, the Schoolway cafes. You need to transport them. You need enough bus drivers and attendants. You need the buses running. You need the school's air condition fixed, plumbing fixed. Folks, it's in the interest and welfare of the public that you are able to attract employees to get the job done. I always heard that, I was always told that maintenance, it's cheaper to maintain something than to repair something. Okay, so one of the things you got to look at is your maintenance department. availability of funds. Kathy touched this. I'm going to suggest two or three things where you have the funds in your budget, okay? One is new, completely new. I don't know if this has met or reached your budget workshops or whatever, but Schoolway Cafe used to pay a percentage to the general fund in terms of storage and receipt of the boxes and materials that they need to prepare lunches. That went, as of January 1st, that went to a $2. Schoolway Cafe now pays $2 per box to your general fund. Right now, something new, you're getting, Schoolway Cafe owes you for January and February, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kathy, over $142,000 just for 2 months. So that's about $1 million extra of new revenue that your general fund is about to receive. Another thing. We took a look at your budget, and you're scheduled to buy, you buy buses every year, and that's fine, and we thank you for that. But you scheduled, I think it was $2.2 million for buses last year, 2.3 for this year, 2 point something for next year. If you reduce, we're not asking you to stop buying new buses, but if you reduce the purchase of buses per year by five, that means instead of buying 23 to 25 buses, you buy 17 to 20 buses. That's $500,000. $500,000 of recurring money that you will have right there that you could use for wages. Okay? That's just two areas that we've identified. We know that you got some ARP money, and that's not reoccurring money. We know you used $46 million of it last year for budget holes, and we're glad that you had that money for that, but you still have some ARP money there. We know that you took a hit in your half a cent sales tax when the pandemic started, but since June of 2020, that money has been returning and climbing. So the money is there, folks, and your workers, your employees need it. And you need these employees to meet your responsibilities to the parents and the community. That is basically it. You have before you our proposal in terms of our new pay scale. We have minimum wage goes up September 28th this year to $11 per hour for everybody, whether you're private, public employee. It goes up to $15 in 2026. We need you to stay ahead of the curve because you have to attract good employees. We don't want you attracting bad employees. Right now, your bus drivers are doing two and three runs a day, routes a day. I mean, there's work there, and you need the employees. Everybody is overworked. So we ask you to please, in determining and in your deliberations concerning the increases for your employees, help us retain workers and attract new workers. Anything else?
And I would also just like to mention, you know, since the pandemic has started, this group of folks never once come up here and complained of anything that was asked of us to do. We also, the bus drivers got on the buses, they delivered the food. The Schoolway Cafe employees got in the kitchens and bagged the foods. We never once come up here and complain to y'all about how it was done. And I just ask y'all to keep that in consideration of what these people did for y'all and did for our children.
And I'd like to also mention the maintenance department serviced all the air conditioning during this pandemic, didn't give any PPE that was special just for that task. You know, you name it, we participated, we did our job. And you know, there's a lot of people that could use more, you know, it'll help. Thank you.
With that, we reserve whatever time left over for
you spent 9 minutes and 1 second. So you
thank
have,
you, sir.
That's the balance.
Thank you so much. Next up, Volusia County School District. Mr. Dorn, we are ready. Yes.
Thank you. And thank you for having us here today to talk about this very important issue. As I mentioned, I'm Sasha Dice, and I'm here representing the school district to explain our position through this impasse process. And I have prepared a presentation for you all. Hopefully you can see it. And I'm going to go through that today. So I want to talk you through a little bit about how we got here in terms of what the collective bargaining procedure looks like here, not only in Volusia County, but is required in the state of Florida, to talk about the disputed issue here at impasse. I want to talk about the prior contract that was at issue, as well as the chronology of negotiations and what the school board's goals have been throughout this throughout these negotiations. And then I want to talk some about the union's proposal that you have received a written copy of and what our recommendations are here today. So first, starting with the collective bargaining procedure. So the Public Employee Relations Act is why we're here today. It provides that the chief executive officer or his or her designee of the public employer and the bargaining agent of the public employees are obligated to meet and bargain in good faith. And so here we have the chief executive officer being the superintendent and the bargaining agent being the represented AFSCME representatives. And so the chief executive officer, of course, is the superintendent who's responsible to you all as the legislative body, being the school board, as part of this process. So this act requires that collective bargaining is done between the chief executive officer or the designee and the union. Now, in order to do that, the chief executive officer consults with you all through that process, both prior to and during bargaining, to be able to represent the board's views at the table. And so that was the purpose of the meetings that occurred in executive session throughout the bargaining process that we had that brings us here today, both prior to and during the negotiations for this contract for the 21-22 fiscal year. And the purpose of that was to obtain the school board's views, obtain the goals, and formulate the board's position that carried through throughout the bargaining sessions. As contemplated by the statute, the school board's role is to provide that direction in those executive sessions in terms of collective bargaining. And once an agreement is reached, then there is a ratification process that you all are familiar with as well, both by the union and the school board. Of course, if the agreement is not ratified by the union, that's what brings us here today. And as your attorney eloquently explained at the beginning of this process, there's a declaration of impasse, and it's ultimately your responsibility here today as part of an impartial quasi-judicial proceeding to resolve the dispute and take such action as you deem in the public interest to resolve these disputed issues. And so the disputed issues are those that are at impasse that are the mandatory subjects of bargaining. And after this proceeding, as your attorney explained, we'll enter into a written agreement that includes both what you've imposed today as well as the tentatively agreed to proposals that are not at dispute resolution. So today what you have, this is the issue, the salary schedule. There's one issue for resolution. The union rejected a contract with the agreed-upon salary schedule and identified that salary schedule is the sole reason that the contract was rejected. So where were we? This is the prior contract that was in effect through June 30th, 2021, that started at, in terms of the step levels, it had eight different categories of employees. Under the salary schedule, starting at a level one, step one of $10.11, and on this schedule going up through level six, step 40, which was $36.26. There were also two other schedules that were part of your agreement for the Schoolway Cafe. This includes three levels of Schoolway Cafe assistance that started at a starting salary of $10. And ended at step 40 of $23.81. And then you have the Schoolway Cafe managers, which are divided based on the size and type of the school. starting at $14.70 and going through $37.67. So that contract is the contract that expired on June 30th, 2021. Pursuant to the union's request, bargaining for the new agreement began on August 10th, 2021. And prior to bargaining, of course, there was the meeting and executive session to obtain the school board's goals for that collective bargaining for this contract. And so those school board goals were established to ensure an $11 per hour minimum for all AFSCME employees, as well as a ensure all employees receive a minimum of a 2% salary increase. And so the cost to establish those goals was a little over $1.2 million. Those goals were based in part on vacancy data and the needs of the district. As you may recall, the paraprofessionals that are part of the VUE support unit had substantial vacancies. These vacancies do not exist for bus drivers and attendants. But with a paraprofessional pay under the VUE support that's been ratified is $12 an hour, and the bus attendant, as part of the agreed-upon proposal, is $11 per hour. And so this is also part of the materials that we submitted, and it shows the vacancy data with the bus operators as of February 2022 showing zero vacancies. And that's in part because of the ability – I'm sorry.
Order. Thank you.
To be able to optimize certain bus routes to allow for that. And then you look at the paraprofessional vacancies, which are, of course, are substantially more than what you have in bus operator and bus attendant data. So collective bargaining began on August 10th, 2021, and the district on that date provided its first proposal, which is a 1% cost of living increase to those that didn't receive the minimum wage increase, as well as all other incentives remaining in place. This includes insurance, differentials, the intern program, longevity pay, the career ladder, attendance bonuses, vehicle mechanic certification, and out-of-class pay. The union countered that proposal with an average raise of 4%, as well as a differential for facility maintenance technicians. So you'll notice that that was the union's initial proposal, and it's vastly different than what you have seen today in the materials, where they indicate they want a 7.5% increase. That was never even asked for at the table in these collective bargaining negotiations. So the district countered that proposal of a 4% raise with all employees receiving $11 per hour, so everyone being brought up to $11 per hour, as well as a 1% cost of living increase. It added a specific differential for the managers, and all other pay proposals remained the same. The union countered again with its 4% proposal, and then requested a differential as it related to custodians. So the district provided another counterproposal on September 30th, 2021. Again, the proposal that time was $11 per hour and a one-step increment that was an average of a 2% raise. So on October 8th, the union accepted that wage proposal of $11 per hour and a one-step increment. And negotiations continued regarding other aspects of the salary proposal. The district provided a counterproposal on October 8th, and again, the wage proposal of $11 an hour of starting pay and the one-step increment for the average of a 2% raise, as well as accepting the union's changes to longevity proposal, eliminating career ladder program except for Sideway Cafe managers, and accepting the union's changes regarding an incentive that they had requested for facility maintenance technicians. So the union, through negotiations, asked the district what its bottom line total spend was for this salary schedule, and the district, in fact, provided that. As a result, the union provided a counter on October 14, 2021. Again, the same wage proposal that they had agreed to in the previous three sessions was $11 an hour starting pay and one-step increment. But this time on October 14th, they provided a wage schedule. And this schedule, they took the bottom line dollar and divided it how the union wanted it divided among the different steps and among the different positions in that and presented that wage schedule. And this is the wage schedule that we're here today on. This is the union's proposed wage schedule. Now, for the levels, you notice before it had 8 levels in the contract. The union requested to condense that down to 6. And so those are here with a starting pay of $11 per hour and an ending pay, the maximum amount of pay for a level 5 was $37.49. And then there are 2 other schedules. This is for the cafe assistants. The union requested to add an assistant level 4, so that wasn't in the original contract. So that's what appeared on their salary schedule. And then as well as this proposal as it related to the managers for these individuals. So the district accepted the union's proposed salary schedule. They added a differential and they accepted the union's change to longevity pay, the career ladder program, and incentive for the facilities maintenance technicians. So as of October 14, 2021, the union and the district tentatively agreed on the entire contract, including the wage article. So then it came, because there was a tentative agreement, came to the union's vote. So the union held a ratification vote on the proposed contract. There are 1,044 members of the bargaining unit. 300 of those members voted. 100 of those members voted to ratify the contract, and 200 members voted not to ratify the contract. So what that represents is there is about a 19% of the bargaining unit members have voted to reject the contract. And that's what we're here today on the impasse process. Because the district had extended its full authority on wages, it accomplished the goals that were set for this by this board for collective bargaining in terms of the $11 an hour and the 2% raise. And the proposed contract accurately represents the board's position on those issues. And now, today, the union is asserting that they want a 7.5% raise. And there isn't any justification that's been provided for such a significant increase. But more importantly, the proposal before you doesn't represent a 7.5% increase. And I'm going to go through that. It is much greater than 7.5%. So this is a schedule of the varying as where we are. So the fiscal year 2020 is what's provided here. So that's the old contract. Then we have the T8 contract and what the union is providing. So if we look at level 1, step 1, in the contract that just expired in June of 2021, the pay was $10.11. The amount agreed between the union and the district would be $11 for that position. And now the union is coming before you asking for $15 an hour for that position. And if you look at the under this schedule, the greatest amount, so if you look at level 5, step 40, under the expired contract, it was $36.26. Under the agreement with the union, it was $37.49. And now under the union's proposal today, it's $47.04. So it's another $10 per hour on that end that they're asking for. And then if you look at the cafe assistants, you have in 2020, the expired contract, they were at $10 an hour. Under the agreed upon contract, they would move to $11. And now under the union's proposal, they're moving to $13 an hour. And then again, if you look at the managers, the cafe managers, you have at step 1 with the elementary school, you have the expired amount is $14.70. You move to what the agreed upon amount was, which was $15.21. But now before you today, the union is requesting $18.75 for that position. And so what this accounts to when you look at the percentage increase is when you're looking at the 6 levels under the AFSCME contract, you have percentage increases ranging on the low end from a 27% raise to the high end of a 48% raise in the union's proposal. On the assistants, you have the percentage increase going from a 30% raise to a 42% raise on those assistants. And then with the managers, you have the varying amount of a 23% raise to a 27% raise. So we're not talking about a 7.5% cost of living adjustment. We're not talking about an inflation amount. These amounts are substantial increases that they are seeking before you today, and certainly nothing that was brought to the table. So the board is charged with resolving this dispute in the public interest, and we believe the district's proposal is in the public interest, including the interest of the public employees in this bargaining unit. Only 19% of the employees in this bargaining unit voted to reject the agreed-upon contract. The union proposed the salary schedule. It was agreed to by the district, and it is in the public's interest to adopt the agreed-upon proposal. Certainly, the proposal, which has salary increases upwards of 30 and 40%, would have impacts not only on every other bargaining unit member, but every other employee you have within the district in terms of creating compression issues. You have the paraprofessionals who have a ratified contract of starting pay of $12 an hour, but the bus attendants under this proposal by the union would be $15 an hour. And so it creates compression issues outside of the bargaining unit here. And the union hasn't provided any justification. They've listed in their proposal that there's been increase in funds. Non-recurring funds can't be used for salary purposes. And that's what the examples that they've provided for you. The district's proposal, which was agreed to at the table by the union, is fair, reasonable, and competitive. It promotes an efficient and effective use of resources. It promotes sound financial stewardship. And the proposal provides a significant and meaningful wage increase. Moving to $11 an hour as a starting pay results in more than a 7.5% increase for those employees in that position. So what our recommendation here today is to bring closure to this contract process and adopt the wage proposal previously agreed to by the union and the district. And specifically, we would recommend and request that the following motion be made, that the superintendent's recommendation to resolve the disputed issue of salary schedule be adopted by the school board as previously agreed to by the union and the district and as fully set forth below on the schedules, and take effect on the date of this hearing in accordance with the requirements of Florida Statute Section 447.403. And then we have provided, this is the agreed upon salary schedule that was in the tentatively agreed to contract and that was put to the vote by the union. And that concludes our presentation today.
Thank you so much. All right, we will take a 18 minutes, we'll take a 10-minute break and we'll return with rebuttal. Next up, we have a rebuttal by AFSCME. Mr. Doran, can you please inform them of their time?
36 minutes remaining if you need it.
Okay, I'd like to first start off with, she said there was no vacancies. Well, we all know that's not true, that we started off the year with vacancies in every category out there, from school cafe managers, assistants, bus drivers, maintenance, warehouse. We all know that that's inaccurate. And then she said about the wages, I'm not real sure where she got her figures at, but it comes out to an 18.9% average wage increase, and y'all can confirm that if you like. Pay scale, not sure where she got that from. That's an old pay scale. So I'm not sure some of the information where she was gathering from, but it was inaccurate.
I'd like to address some specifics also. I thank the opposing counsel for illustrating that by law what the process is and that we're here and the bargaining process, whatever, but also incorporated into that law is that while you're at impasse, you're entitled to continue negotiations. You're entitled to continue going back and forth to see if you could resolve the impasse. In this instance, management refused to meet. After the vote, there was no further negotiations, no further meetings, and that was not in the spirit of the law or as well as what PERC mandates. As to us changing our proposal when we were at the table to 4% to 7.5, well, a couple things happened. Number one, there was a PERC decision that says that when you reach impasse, you don't have to stick to your last offer or to your first offer. You deal with what you have to deal with. And I think that was that decision is about a year old or maybe 2 years old. I'm not an attorney, so maybe the council could enlighten us as to when that decision came through. That's number one. Number two, things don't remain the same. Things change. I mean, I wish I was back. I was still 26, but you could see my white hair has caught up, age has caught up. Things change. When we took this to a vote to the membership, and remember, yes, the negotiating committee TA'd this, tentative agreed to this, but it goes to ratification to the membership. Just like your management TA something, it must come to you for ratification. Our membership rejected this. I'm not sure where she got the numbers that 19% voted, but I'll tell you this. You've all run for election. You have never had an election where 100% of those eligible to vote came to vote. Well, that's what happens at union votes too. Not 100% people come to vote. But what she failed to illustrate, and I want you to take a look at the numbers that she presented, two out of three voters rejected the economic package. They didn't reject the language. They didn't reject nothing else. But two out of three of your employees said that is not enough money with what is going on. So when we got down to looking at the CPI, 7.5, when we got down to looking at Flagler County, at Putnam County, at Lake County, and we saw that we are the lowest paid employees of the surrounding area, yes, we did go and change our figures. And we're asking you to take that into consideration. Volusia County, the lowest paid employer, has the lowest paid employees from any school district in this area. You're surrounded by counties, and they all pay more than you. We need you to please do something about that because your employees need economic relief. Where was I? We did not present to you a possibility of using funds from a non-reoccurring source. We presented to you two places where you could find reoccurring money. $1 million a year extra, which is newfound. I don't know if you've considered it yet in your new budget. Okay. The calculation, the formula used between how Schoolway Cafe turns over money to the general fund has changed. It started January 1st. You're going to have $1 million of reoccurring money going into your general fund. We asked you to take a look at your buses. You buy buses from your reoccurring funds. Buy five less. Keep buying them. You have to replace. We cannot have our kids going in buses that break down. But buy five less. That's all we're asking. That's $1.5 million of non-reoccurring funds that is there for you to use to help your employees reach a standard of living where they can continue working here in Volusia County, where you retain experienced workers and where you attract workers. Here's one of the things. Now I'm the director. I deal with 27 counties, 29 different locals, and I had a hard time with your pay scale and your negotiations. And I don't get involved unless there's an issue. And one of the things I noticed is that there's a better solution. There's an easier solution. You don't want to deal with such big pay scales. Well, we know that you gave non-bargaining units a 1.5 in total increase. You gave the view a 2.3 increase. The figures that she put up there show that you gave AFSCME the least. The least. We're as worthy employees as your teachers. We're as worthy employees as your administration. We're not second-class citizens. We ask that you consider us at the same level. If you give us, let's say, $1.50 across the board increase to everybody, put the pay scale aside. Put the percentages aside. Go to something simple. $1.50 increase for everybody across the board. You raise your minimums. Everybody, you meet the new state minimum of $11. Everybody moves up. That's something to consider. That comes out to about $2.4, $2.5 million in the range of the 2.3 of the view. That's something for you to consider. Okay? Our point is as follows. We need help. The only place we can get help is here. We are overtaxed, overworked. You got bus drivers working 2 and 3 routes, and you have vacancies. You go, in the next break, go to your website, and you'll see that you're looking for bus drivers. You're looking for schoolway cafe. You're looking for maintenance guys. Every category you have out there advertised hiring. I don't know where she got that you don't need no bus drivers, that you don't need only two, you only need 4 bus attendants. That's not according to your website. Okay? So please, we ask you, take a look, not at what the guidelines you gave management to sit down at the beginning of the contract. Take a look at your employees now. We're not second-class citizens. We should get either the same or as close or a little more than what you offered the view. You gave them $2.3 million. $1.50 only cost $2.4 million. It'll attract your people. It'll lessen our vacancies.
And I just want to make a little notation in there. At the $15 an hour, what I'd ask for the starting pay for, like, Schoolway Cafe, still would not bring them up to poverty level. So if you needed your figures, poverty level, if they're a single person, have no children, if they have children, it's $18,000 a year is poverty level. That would only bring them up to $11,000 a year. Gross pay. That's before we take anything out of their check. For any taxes, insurance, or anything is taken out of their check. So y'all, right now, like I say, you have them working for $7,800 a year, gross pay. So I'm asking you to value these people for what, you know, they deserve. In the same way with your, you know, the bus attendants, because they're the two lowest paid. And because their bus attendants, I mean, and bus drivers are only guaranteed 5 hours a day, and the Schoolway Cafe are only guaranteed 4 hours a day. So at the $15, we're still not getting these people up to poverty level.
And at the last point, I think I made it before, but you've had a lot of vacancies. Have your accounting department get to you how many vacancies you've had and how much that has added to your surplus so the money is there.
I'd just like to also state that I would almost wager money that any one of our specific work groups, their total cumulative vacancies is equal to the total number of all the administrative vacancies that currently exist. So for every one of our work groups, we're equal to, if not more than, any vacancy that is a management position. And that alone just shows that we're not as important in my purview as filling management spots. If you don't have your employees, there's not really a place to have management. You know, that's a really important thing to remember. That's all I want to say.
And that was like last night at the board meeting, you know, Dr. Fritz made the comment to y'all and y'all agreed to his salary, and you know, he wanted to bring his people up to market value. And that's what, you know, getting our people up to $15 an hour is not really up to market value, but it's up. And, you know, and like I say, you know, we need to value the people at the bottom just as much as we do at the top. That's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We will stop the clock. Mr. Doran, can you advise them at how much time they have remaining?
The district has 27 minutes remaining.
Thank you. Welcome. You can begin when you're ready, and you have how many minutes? 27?
27 minutes.
27
okay,
minutes.
Great.
Thank you
so much. So I just want to address a couple points. I promise I won't use all 27 minutes. On the issue of the vacancies, there are 172 bus routes and 172 bus drivers. So that's why I said that there are...
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to please be respectful. Okay, you all had your opportunity. Your representation had the opportunity to speak. Now it's the district's turn. Thank you.
The cost of the proposal is $5.8 million. So the assertion that it's only an 18.9%, which is, of course, different than what they placed the union placed before you coming into today, it's just not accurate. What I had presented to you in our proposal is based on the math, the distinction between what they're asking for versus what they had in the contract, and you divide that by the total number of what they had before, and that's how you get to the percentage of the percentage increase on that. Likewise, on the issue of the vote, they don't know how I got to 19%. Well, there are 144 members. The union told us that there were 300 members who voted, 200 voted to reject, 100 voted in support of. If you again, using math, that's 200 out of 1,044 employees is 19% in terms of that's the amount. So the number of employees who have rejected the contract is 19%. You were the union has made a lot of statements about what other counties pay, what other school districts pay, but they haven't provided you with any evidence. The only submittal that they gave to you prior to today is their proposal.
Okay, can you please stop the time?
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been very respectful to you all. We've listened. I've kindly asked you to not interrupt. And that's not what's happening here. We're all grown folks, ladies and gentlemen. You all owe this young lady respect as well. Okay, the same way you all come and tell us, hey, our kids are on our buses acting up crazy. You guys, you're doing the same exact thing right now, ladies and gentlemen. Please, let us get through this process so that we can start talking. Do you guys want us to start talking? I'm sure that you do. We've got to get past this respectfully. Please. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the issue of the negotiations, there was a statement made that we refused to bargain, and that's simply not a true statement. You are not here as PERC. You're not here to decide an unfair labor practice, but there has been no unfair labor practice. Rather, what we communicated after the ratification vote is that we had extended the full authority that we had. So in terms of having further negotiations, there was nothing to be had because there was no more authority. But we didn't refuse to meet. They didn't ask to say they want to talk about the authority we have. They wanted to come here with the proposal that you have in front of you. Additionally, there was a mention about $1 million extra. That's non-recurring funds. Those can't be used to pay salaries. There's statements that you can use capital funds that are allocated for buses to pay salaries. That's not accurate either. There was a statement regarding the amount of the contract for VUE support. And though the VUE support employees, as you may recall, were at a lower pay rate than the AFSCME employees. So you can't compare those two contracts with respect to that issue. And additionally, as I put up before, the vacancies that existed at the paraprofessional level greatly outnumber any data. And there is no contrary data that's been provided to you by the union in terms of evidence. We provided the evidence in our materials and in our presentation today. And so I thank you for your time. And I'm done with our presentation at this point.
Thank you so much. Does the school district, does the AFSCME have time for rebuttal with time remaining?
No, that's it.
So their time is done?
Yes.
Okay.
We've done two rounds on each side. It's, all the presentations are complete.
Wonderful.
Now, if there's more information to come from either of the parties, it would have to be through questions posed by the...
I understand that we may be asked questions.
Yeah, you may be asked questions.
Yes.
So from board members asking questions, you can get more information. But we had presentation rebuttal.
Thank you. Board members, are there any procedural questions at this time? Hearing none, we will start off with Mr. Purposes, who is up on the queue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate hearing both of the presentations. I have a question for the district. That is, this contract that we are talking about, this contract, if it were retroactive, when would be that starting date?
Sure, I can explain that, how that works. So under the what we have agreed to before coming here today, there is a retroactive pay. So that's not before you in this. The dispute here today is just over the salary schedule. So what we agreed is for the fiscal year 2021 to 2022, that was what was TA'd. So it would go back to the beginning of the 2021-2022. But retroactivity is not a disputed issue, so it's not something for the board to resolve today.
So then that would be July 1st of 2021?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and my second question is, this contract, would this contract, if we approved a contract, would this one expire on June 30th of 2022?
It would.
So.
So we would be back at the bargaining
so
table.
So I was just going to say that's only 3 months.
It is.
Or 4 months, whatever it is. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Next up, Ms. Haynes.
My question is specifically for Ms. Knowles. Ms. Knowles, you sent an email to Mr. Doran that he forwarded to us, and it says this is the pay scale that I'm proposing. Was there an attachment with a pay scale, or was it just what was in the subject line?
There should have been an attachment. Just he pulled it up. When I sent it to him and he pulled the attachment up.
This was sent to us at your pay scale, and the attachment was the letter that was sent to certify it.
That's what it would look like when everything is all said and done. But there is when you do the formula and how you do it, there is a spreadsheet and how that comes out in the figures and all that. There is a spreadsheet.
Okay, yeah, so Mr. Doran, on Friday, February 25th at 7:11 a.m., Kathy Knowles sent you an email with a subject line saying, "I am sharing $15 with you," and then it said, "This is the pay scale that I am proposing." You forwarded that to us on Monday, February 28th at 11:32 a.m., and there was no attachment to it, and so when I looked at it, I just went with what was in the subject line. So was there or was there not an attachment?
I don't see any.
I forwarded you exactly what I received, and Ms. Burnett even asked about it, and I responded, "I don't know anything more than what I've said."
So there should have been an attachment. Well, like I said, because that's like... That is like what it would go in the back of the contract if the $15 one was agreed upon. But then there was a spreadsheet that shows how many people was on step one, step two, and with the costing of it is another spreadsheet, which is what she shared, but her percentages and how it was done is not accurate, because the way she had it done, she had people at like averaging like 30-40%, and it only actually comes out to 18.9% average.
Received an email from Karen Levasseur on Friday,
mm-hmm.
which
had
Mm-hmm. That was from Hector.
Hector Ramirez. Mm-hmm.
Hector Ramirez. And that did have an attachment, so you did
that,
get that.
That was on Wednesday, March 9th. Is that what you're mm-hmm. talking about?
I mean, we forwarded it whenever we got it.
But like I said, that one I showed you, that's just what the pay scale would actually look like and what goes in the back of the contract. But like the other spreadsheet, like what she shared, shows, you know, how many people is like, on, like we got on step one, there's 10 bus drivers. On step two, you know, whatever. So some steps, there's not even anybody on those steps. And when it computed, the way she had the percentage over there, you know, wasn't completely accurate or whatever, because it was different. I mean.
Okay, so you're talking about the one that we got from Karen on March the 4th. But that doesn't have what?
Right. So, like, to get the figures and to see how many people are on each step is the press sheet like she showed up there, like the one she had up here earlier, the district shared.
Was that submitted to Mr. Doran?
This should have been attached, yes.
Can you validate whether that was submitted, please?
Sometimes I can't get them up on my phone.
I asked if they had submitted.
But this right here is what this is that it's the starting pay at 15, but it just tells you how many people would get $15 an hour.
So the reason I ask is because if you did submit it and we didn't receive it, then I would move that we accept it.
I thought I had sent it. Let me see if I can pull it up on my phone.
For whatever reason.
Hang on, let's see.
Asking of you all if
this is what we got.
And that would be what the.
So we got a document that's called AFSCME proposed pay. And it's basically, if you can see that, looks like that. It's got the color. That's what Ms. Cuthbert's holding up. That's the.
Yeah, that's the pay scale.
Okay, that's the document that we.
But it didn't have any numbers of like each. The number of people on each level or anything.
It was agreed upon of how the scale would look. Not with, like, the thing. But, I mean, I have this one here. It's the same as what the district has presented. I mean, I don't know if you have the one from the district. It should be the same. But the way they had the percentage cost is different. Hang on, I'm trying to see which one it was.
So as you're aware, we don't speak to the, after we go to impasse, we no longer speak to the district. So we are impartial. So even if the district received it, we can't speak to the district and say, you know.
I have this one if you would like to
So so because it wasn't submitted, and if you tell me that it was submitted, and
I thought I'm trying
that,
to get through my emails.
We'll consider it. Otherwise, if it wasn't submitted, I you know. It wasn't submitted for us to see, so it's not something I could take under consideration today because it wasn't submitted in the time frame that was in the order. But I do want to give you the opportunity that if you do feel to answer Ms. Haynes' question, if it was submitted and it was omitted for whatever reason, and I know that a lot of times when you send it forward an email, sometimes the attachment drops off.
Yeah, and so it could have, because I thought I had both of them on there, because that's why when she questioned, or when he asked the question, what did those title, what that stuff meant, that's when I replied back, and I just kind of, you know, screenshotted the top to, and I wrote, you know, to explain what they were.
Well, now that's a separate email, so.
Right.
Should I explain that?
Please.
Okay. So there was a request by Ms. Burnett to receive the answers to some questions that she had prior to this hearing today. And, you know, it would be to present that to you, it would be tantamount to, for instance, the judge saying, well, before the trial starts, I want you to send me the information or answer these questions. There's no problem with that if both parties agree to it. So I sent it out to both parties and said, tell me if you agree to forwarding the attached information. And I did get a response from Ms. Noel saying she didn't have any problem with it. Now, this is all in the last 48 hours, so just very close to the hearing. I did not get a response from the district that I'm aware of, and so it just didn't get forwarded on to you because I didn't have both parties agreeing to forward it. Now, it was just the answers to some questions. And I said even in the email to the parties, if both of you don't agree to this, we'll just bring it out. We can present it at the hearing, which was 24 hours away at that point. That's where we are with that.
So procedurally, was this submitted? There was a deadline for submitting documentation. Was this submitted prior to or after the deadline?
Okay. I forwarded to the board exactly what Ms. Knowles sent to me. If the attachment was not on there, I was unaware of it, and on the face of the email, it didn't seem to indicate that there was an attachment per se, as I recall. But if there was an attachment that you wanted them to have, it should have been included as well in the documents. You remember you had that deadline and you did submit documents.
Right, and that was and I thought both of them was attached. This and then showing, and then what y'all have is pretty much this, but it's just doesn't show all the compression.
Gotcha. So do we agree that it was not submitted in the timely fashion?
Okay, I agree that it's not submitted.
Okay, I'm just making sure. And so I just want to make sure that we're clear, because I don't want anybody to be under the impression that, you know, we received this paperwork. There's a time frame by which the order said we must receive all paperwork. And so what we're discussing was submitted after that. So if it had been asked of me, would I accept that beyond the deadline? We extended the deadline 24 hours because nothing was submitted, for whatever the reason may be. And so I extended that grace for 24 hours in order to ensure that your representation was done. So we gave them an extra day to provide that paperwork, at which point they did. So to be clear, this documentation was not received in the timely manner of this extension. And so for that reason, there's really no need to move to not consider that, because of the fact that it was not provided in a timely fashion. Am I correct?
You're correct.
Okay.
It's in your discretion.
Yeah, thank you. Ms. Haynes?
I'm passing for right now.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? There's nobody else on the speaker. Mr. Persis.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
Can I kindly ask you to allow me to weigh in? I mean, I didn't know if you were ready, and as you know, we...
Sure.
So I do have...
You're
several
the chair.
Thanks. I do have several questions for the school district and as well as for AFSCME. When you say to the... And this is to the school district. If you could just come over. I know you guys need to pick a side. We got to love each other. When you say that the wages are fair and competitive, what are you basing that on?
In terms of the competitive nature of the wages?
Yes.
That this isn't the lowest paid school district in terms of the salary, but the salaries are competitive with the surrounding school districts.
So in your presentation, you mentioned that the proof wasn't provided on that, but I don't know. I'm taking your word for it, because I don't know what other surrounding school districts are paying. Do you have that information?
I don't think it's necessary for you to have that information to make the determination that this is a competitive proposal. It provides a substantial pay increase, so based on what was previously provided. So they're asking for you to expend $5.8 million and saying that there are other school districts who pay more. In order to support that, as the petitioner, they would need to provide evidence to do that. And so I don't, respectfully, that would be our position on that issue.
Thank you. Do you happen to have, and again, I know this is, you know, because we don't discuss this with the district, I didn't have the opportunity like we normally do to ask and say, can you provide me this data? But I'm sure we can quickly figure out what our minimum percentage increase was for instructional, minimal percentage increase for support staff, and even as late as last night, we had a minimum increase for non-bargaining of starting salaries. And so they provided us percentages, but I'd really like to validate that to understand what kind of pattern we have set because, you know, as you are aware, this was negotiated prior to us doing support where we went from $10 to $13.50 an hour, which in some cases could be seen as a 30% increase for some employees. And so that this happened prior to that. So I'm curious to see what, from our lowest employee, what percentage increase for those three units did we issue? So that's a question there.
Okay.
And then I'm going to ask you once again, and please feel free to ask the district if you need to or if you need to refer. How many bus driver vacancies do we currently have right now based on the allotted positions that we are expected to have? So we budget a certain number of positions. Mm-hmm. How many bus driver, how many attendant, and how many schoolway cafe, and how many, I don't want to use the term other, but folks that fall under other categories. How many vacancies do we have? Because I am having a hard time with zero. Sorry.
Sure.
And on both sides, and I'm getting to you guys, so don't start celebrating, okay? Because zero makes no sense. And anytime I can poke, and I work with data in my real life, if I can poke a hole in your data, the rest of it is no good.
Well, zero is the, when you look at the routes and the number of drivers. So that is accurate data. I understand what you're saying. I don't have that off the top of my head.
Okay,
so I'm going to have to confer with the district on those
issues. They're listening.
But in terms of what I think you're talking about is that you hire for additional employees in case one of those employees is out on leave or sick or has some other way which takes them out of that position. So, but there are 172 routes, and there are 172 drivers. But I can find out the other information for you, sir.
Perfect. And so then my next question is, so those are the questions that I have right now for the district. The question I have for AFSCME, and going back, so what did you say the starting rate for Seminole County was for bus drivers right now? $16.53. Does that sound right?
$16.
What is
$16 something?
Go ahead. What was the number you quoted?
Because I did get it, and I have, because I do have all their information, because I did my homework of all the counties in
okay.
their
pay. What is their starting pay for bus drivers right now?
Bus drivers for Volusia is $13, Seminole $16.53, Lake County is $12.73, and Flagler is $15.
Okay, $16.53 in Seminole County starts on July 1st. That's not their current rate.
That is what was just ratified, plus they got a bunch of bonuses and stuff.
But
things.
That is effective July 1st. So, again, and the same, I did a little homework on neighboring districts because I'm in Deltona, and I realized that folks live in Deltona and can go to Seminole County. So I did my homework there. So what is their current right now this year? 1326 is their
216 something.
Okay, so their current rate right now. So as we're discussing this contract, Seminole County is at 1326. So the $16 amount actually starts on July 1st, which is what the next set of negotiations would be. Right now, it's $13 in Seminole County. Do we agree on that?
No, it's $13.26.
$13.26. So right now,
that I made, which is above the $13 that we have here.
Okay. So right now, the rate in Seminole County is
$13.26.
So it's not $16.53. That actually starts in July. Okay. So I don't want any. It's easy to throw around numbers, but we have to be accurate because what happens is when you say $16.53, if we make a decision that's any less than that, folks feel like they're being shortchanged when in reality, okay, yes, we're not at par, but we're not that far apart as we relate to the year 2021 to 2022, which is what we are in question right here today. So I just, yes, sir.
I hate to interrupt.
Please do.
A decision maker.
No, no, please do. We're having a discussion.
Okay. We received, as part of the materials that we received, I think it was from Mr. Doran, was this bus driver average comparison made by the district. Okay? And if you circle the five surrounding, the surrounding counties, Seminole County, their average bus driver pay is, so this came from management, mm-hmm. is $21,915, while Volusia County average bus driver pay is $17,193. So, yes, the starting pay is 13, currently 1326 going up to 16 something, right? But the average pay for bus drivers, according to management's data, the difference is $4,000.
So do we agree that longevity, so you can't tell me how many bus drivers have been in Seminole County for a long time. You
no.
can't tell me how many were new. So I hear what you're saying, and this is, I'm one vote of five. I hear what you're saying. However, as we all know in education, it's not apples to apples. And this, the way that pay is structured, especially when we go upon years of years and years of what I would consider a flawed system, honestly, it is what it is, but and I'm just verbalizing what's in my head. I hear what you're saying, but I'd have to know how many bus drivers have been there for a long time. Are they making more because they work more? You know, how many of, there's so many different variables.
Yeah. There are quite a few variables, but nevertheless, our statement and our presentation that Volusia County is the lowest paid of Brevard, Flagler, Lake, no, don't count Brevard. Brevard, you're not attached to Brevard. But Flagler, Lake, Putman, and Seminole, you are the lowest paid. Not only did our research show that, but management's research showed that they provided. So that is our statement.
So the other part that I'm having a hard time with, and I don't understand where the logic came from, but you stated if you want, give everybody $1.50. But that doesn't add up to $15. We got to make up your mind.
No, you're absolutely right, sir. You're absolutely right. It doesn't add up to what we presented. What I'm currently negotiating for Martin County School District. We just finished Polk County School District, and we just finished Manatee County School District. The way we resolved the issue, because every of the school districts, they have steps. Nobody is in their corresponding correct step anymore, so the steps no longer represent seniority. And it has to do when we hit the recession and people started moving away from the steps and we took pay freezes, et cetera. So how do we deal with that, okay? So one of the ways that we started dealing with it, for example, in Polk County, we just negotiated $1.50 for everybody across the board. And the acknowledgement that from now on, the steps no longer correspond to the years you're with the school board. So we moved away from that there. In Manatee County, what we did there was we brought up some people to their corresponding steps by seniority, some job classifications. Next year we'll do the other ones, and so we're doing a slow process there. In Martin County, I don't know how that's going to go. As in here, we don't know how it's going to go. So, but the solution that we found, which was easiest, not just for the payroll department, because it is a problem for payroll and all the machinations that they have to do to everybody's payroll, and for the members, was move away from steps corresponding to your year of service. Everybody's going to get $1.50 increase, and that's it. And we'll deal with next year.
Thank
so
you.
That's a solution we found there. So I figured I'd let you know.
Great. I have a question for the district. There was mention of $1 million extra dollars because of the change in Schoolway Cafe. Was that attributed to the fact that we are now storing the food and delivering it, so now we're charging Schoolway Cafe more money because we are having to deliver the food and store it and do all of that? Would you assert that this isn't really Schoolway Cafe giving the district an extra $1 million versus it's the cost of doing business because now we're storing the food, delivering the food, and all of that? Are we talking about this? I want to make sure I'm looking at the same $1 million
yeah.
you are.
So,
school manager, so,
so
she knows about
it,
that, not me.
In the past, when the warehouse was originally was running, we paid, it was this person, we might pay you 21% of this salary. This one was like 80% of this salary. We might pay you 100% of your salary. So everybody that worked there that handled our food in some way, the freezer person, the driver, manager, whatever, we paid a percentage of salaries. So when they closed the warehouse down and we went strictly back to U.S. Foods, then all that people got money went back to the general fund because we was no longer using that service as we do the indirect cost, which was like $554,000 this year, indirect costs that Schoolway Cafe reimbursed for services to y'all, which included like maintenance salaries. We reimbursed if they work on our equipment and things like that. So when we opened the warehouse back up, instead of going back into all the different percentages, they just decided just to do a flat rate. And it was per case that comes into the warehouse.
So
to help reimburse the salaries of the people in the general fund.
So is it a fair assertion, is it fair to say that the reason why, and I think you just spoke to the history of it, the reason why the district is collecting more of the $1 million is because we're now delivering the food, we're storing the food, we're doing all of these things we didn't do before.
You did that
so
before.
Well,
you did that before. The warehouse is always delivered to us. We had we got food outside from U.S. Foods always, and also we had stuff that was direct shipped to the warehouse. So I got deliveries every week for the last, well, up until we dropped out, 10, 12 years that I've been doing it. But before we dropped out, we always had deliveries from the warehouse. So that's always been there.
Thank you. Dr. Shanoff, you want to weigh in?
The comment was made that we're getting $1 million back into the general fund since January. Those dollars are going specifically to pay salaries of new employees that we've had to employ in the warehouse. They are going towards the costs of the acquisition of new trucks, drivers, the utilities that are involved with standing up 20,000 square feet of freezer space, the new racks that had to be built and put in. We're not making money off of warehousing Schoolway Cafe. We did this out of necessity because U.S. Foods cut our contract.
Thank you. That is all of the questions that I have. So, Mr. Persis, you're up next to speak.
Mr. West.
Oh, Mr. West, sorry.
Sorry, that's okay. I was going to try to answer a couple of your questions.
Please.
I'm sorry, we were gathering some of the information for you. Let me clarify about the bus driver vacancies, that if I could for a minute, because I know that's been kind of a contentious issue. And saying that we have 172 routes and 172 bus drivers, obviously it makes it look like we don't have any vacancies. That's because we did reduce, and Dr. Shanoff has been working with transportation, the number of routes based on the number of kids we have. The reality is that we've collapsed some of those, and that means that some bus drivers are doing double and triple runs. Is that fair to say? Okay, thank you. So that means that, of course, their hours are going to be extended as well. So what if we look at kind of the average number or a number of routes that we had in the past, and it actually came from that report that I sent you, it's 201 routes that we had previously, and that actually was prior to COVID. So we recognize we had to shrink down a little bit, but we haven't shrunk down that much. So we recognize we still have a need for bus drivers. Yes, we absolutely will acknowledge that. Statewide, there was a need for bus drivers. But as far as the number of bus drivers right now, we do advertise a vacancy of a bus driver, and we advertise a vacancy of a bus attendant on the website, because we're constantly doing training, and we want to hire sub-bus drivers to come in to get trained so that we can train them to be bus drivers. And when they go through that process, we do put them on a route. So I just kind of wanted to explain that process and to not say that we're taking it and saying there are zero vacancies. We just want to clarify what that means, okay?
So as I was sitting here, I went into our website a little while ago.
Yes.
And I noticed that we only do that for bus drivers and bus attendants. All the other
Correct.
Positions have 30 vacancies, and you can
Yes.
see 30. So I'll ask once again and
Yep.
to counsel and you, Mr. West, and whoever Yep. wants to answer the question. How many bus driver vacancies do we have today? Because if they were on the website, I can tell you they're 30. They're 40. I can't
Right.
tell you that right now because we only advertise one.
And if I could, and I'll try this, Dr. Shanoff, and you can come speak
we
if you need
to. We can go
to
a break if we need to gather
no,
this
no,
information.
That's okay. I think what the issue is that we have every route covered right now with, and I mean, you're looking at me, and I'm trying to answer the question of what it exactly is. When we get a bus driver, we obviously take that route, and we're constantly shifting. So, I hesitate to say zero vacancies right now because obviously we're advertising for bus drivers right now. But what I would say if I had to answer your question precisely is our optimum is about 201 routes. And I've spoken to Rod about this as well over in transportation. I was there last week and actually I got to ride the bus with a lovely young lady that has been here for over 30 years, and she invited me to ride her bus. And I recognize that we have some bus drivers that are doing those double and triple routes. So I would say we have 29 routes that we could potentially expand to if we had the bus drivers. Is that fair to say, Dr. Shanoff? Just say yes.
I don't need an exact number. I just know
Sure.
that it's not zero.
We will gladly take up to and over 29 drivers. We will gladly take anybody who is interested in driving a bus, train them, and get them on a bus. 29 would get us to where we were to our route level pre-COVID. It would eliminate our need to double up, triple up routes. No doubt about it. So, and we would also like to employ an overage. So then when we did have, when we needed sub bus drivers, we could. And we would normally like to maintain a 10% overage.
Okay, thank
so
you for that.
That the other
is
issue, and
32 then.
I'll bring it back, don't worry. You know he's coming back.
How many bus attendants? So Dr. Shanoff, how many bus attendant positions of those 32, because we added the overage of percentage. How many bus attendants would you say, if we had 32 extra routes, how many bus attendants would you say would be needed to suffice that?
Ideally, we would like to have enough attendants to match our number of drivers that we were adding.
Great, thank you. So that's... How many vacancies are there in Schoolway Cafe right now?
I don't have that data.
Okay, so.
If
neither one has that, that's fine.
I'm not sure exactly what is online right now because mm-hmm. what we were before pre-COVID, we was at between managers and assistants, 500, and currently... she sent it today. We have like 232 assistants, and so we got 60. How many? 66. Minus 11. That's how many managers we have. So we're short 11 managers currently right now. 11 schools out there without managers. We have some people in training if they stay and continue, and I'm not sure about leaving. And we have another one retiring, so there would be 12 currently. In student, but an assistant-wise, because they did a compression on staffing. We were at what we were pre-COVID.
So, Dr. West, how many vacancies do we have in School Way Cafe right now?
I think that Dr. Shanoff's going to have to get that number. I don't know that off the top of my head.
I know managers, but how many? What they show shortage in the thing is what they're currently in. Because I used to normally run 11, and I'm only now running 8 when I was staffed, fully staffed before pre-COVID.
So I will say that is another position that we have one listed so that's open so a School Way Cafe assistant can get that information too, because that's run through the district, through that office.
I'm trying to unpack what our need. So here's yes, the reason sir. I'm asking. I'm trying to unpack what our need is because,
right. You
know, the district asserted that there were a lot more paraprofessional positions, mm-hmm. and the data that was provided clearly was off.
Well, and the tricky thing about that is because paraprofessionals are assigned to the school, and they're actually allocated at the schools, we keep track of that. Because the bus drivers and the bus attendants and the School Way Cafe are run through the district, and they are at the operations center, they are the ones that keep those numbers in regards to that. So. That's why I'm sorry, I can't give you those accurate numbers right now. Can I mention two other things that you had asked questions about? The bus driver salaries averages that were referenced, and that is off of the chart that I provided you all based on the request that you made, because that is what we had readily available from the state. And we all acknowledge there are some, I'm going to say, apple to oranges inconsistencies there, primarily because of the number of months that they're employed. You'll notice that Seminole County and Flagler counties, as he had mentioned, there are higher numbers. They work 10 months a year, and our employees work 9 months a year. So there's going to be a discrepancy based on the number of days that they work and the routes that they have. So that, I mean, it's just apples and oranges is all I'm saying. Not to say that we don't have low rates and that we want to bring those up, okay? And then the other thing that you had asked was what was the minimum that we gave each, the non-bargaining, the instructional, and the VUE support. A 2% raise for non-bargaining is the minimum. A 2.5% raise is a minimum for our instructional, and a 2% raise for VUE support is the minimum that we've given those folks.
So for VUE support, some folks went from $10 to $13.50.
Some did, yes. I'm sorry, I thought you asked the minimum.
If our minimum was $10 an hour for VUE support and we took them to $13.50.
I see. I'm sorry, I thought we thought that they were, you were asking what was the minimum salary increase in each of those areas.
Right.
So I apologize, that's why the percentage was there.
Right, so just to... Because again, they provided the so you know, for someone who was making $10 an hour going to $13.50, that's 30 something percent.
And that was our paraprofessionals, correct?
That was our paras. And so, you know, the assertion from the district was that there was a greater need for those folks than bus drivers, which we clearly I clearly realized that we were a little bit off on those numbers. That's all I have right now.
Okay.
Next up, Mr. Persis. And thank you for allowing me to go. Mr. Persis?
I was going to, Jamie, I had a question. So you,
Ms. Haynes?
I yield to you, Jamie.
Yes, I have several. So I'd like to start with this. In any of our school cafes, are we using temporary help?
Yes.
His answer is yes, because he already knew I knew the answer.
Thank you. I would. Mm-hmm.
So I've been to several schools already this week, and I have met individuals in the School Way Cafe as I've been serving breakfast that are there because we've hired outside temporary help. Mm-hmm. So my concern is, even if we get some numbers, I don't know that they're the accurate numbers for how many positions we truly have vacant, because we have filled some of them with agency temp help that are in working in these positions. I have been concerned for quite a while, and I'm going to do Schoolway Cafe first, about the manager piece, because I brought up the piece about how we had people covering two schools more than a year ago. And, you know, we supposedly went after the statement we were no longer going to have a manager cover two schools. And what I'm hearing tonight is we still have 11 schools that don't have a manager. And then I know that, what, is, am I wrong?
I'm sorry, he can use this chair.
It's kind of hot.
We have 11 schools that have manager vacancies. We have 9 schools that have manager vacancies that are filled by an intern, manager intern.
So 11 that just outright don't have a manager, and 9?
Of the 11, 9 are filled by a Schoolway Cafe manager intern who is on their way to becoming a manager. That's typically how we staff it. So we do not have, we have but 2 that are currently staffed by our district staff have been going in and filling where we do not have managers being filled.
Okay. All right. And so do you know approximately how many, and I'm not looking for an exact number, how many people we've hired through a temporary staffing agency to fill the Schoolway Cafe positions for serving?
I don't know the exact number. I wouldn't even venture to guess. I do know that we use temporary staffing when we are drastically short where it would impact, but we would not supplant a vacancy with a permanent temporary staffing. Temporary staffing is temporary. It would be day-to-day. It's not something that we would ask for 6 weeks, 8 weeks at a time. That's not how we operate.
Okay. All right. Then I, too, agree with Mr. Colon and those of you in the audience. As far as I know, a lot of you are doing double and triple routes. So tonight when it was said, we have 172 routes and we have 172 bus drivers. My question to you, Dr. Shanoff, is, did we just basically look at everybody within the district that held a CDL license and therefore said we have 172 people in the district that have a CDL license, even if they hold it and they're a coach at a school, even if they hold it and they work on, you know, changing out the tires or the batteries on the bus? I mean, how did we come up with we have 172 bus drivers, or I'll preface it with people that hold a CDL license, because these people wouldn't be doing double and triple routes if we had 172 drivers out there
every
day.
So it's not accurate to say that we have 172 folks in the district that carry CDLs, and everybody who carries a CDL operates a bus. We have folks that carry CDLs but operate trucks. We have folks that are coaches that operate activity buses that have CDLs. We have absences, any number of absences on a given day where we need to cover routes, where we then lean on those that are there to go ahead and provide help for those routes. We then end up doubling up routes, tripling up routes. We cover routes the best that we can. Our managers are doing the best that they can to work through those, and our drivers are doing heroic things in order to get our kids to school. So when we set out to establish the routes at the beginning of the year, we went in with the number of operators that we had at the time. And that's what we've worked towards. Those are the routes that we've published to our communities. when we've had to make adjustments to those routes, we've made adjustments to those routes and then published them out to the communities. Between the routers and the operators, everybody's doing the best that they can. It's very difficult for us to, it's difficult in every district where we're doing everything within our power to go ahead and transport kids as best we can. And our managers, our routing managers, are trying to move mountains. It's just an unfortunate condition where we're at right now with a bus driver shortage nationwide.
Thank you, and thank you for being honest about that. Do we have any drivers or attendants that we're using from the temp agency?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. So other than Schoolway Cafe, are we using anybody that's in this bargaining unit, are we using any temp help that you know of?
Any temp help in?
Because the problem is this covers a large group of people. It covers all the Schoolway Cafe, so we already know we're using temp help in Schoolway Cafe.
Correct.
Okay. Under bus drivers and bus attendants, are we using any temp help?
No.
Okay. Under campus advisors, are we using any temp help?
I'm not over campus advisors, so I couldn't answer that.
Okay. Then over the group that Will represents, because Will represents a different group, are we using any temp help for the area that Will represents?
We would contract out some jobs if we needed to, or we would authorize overtime. But no, temp, no.
Okay. So under the area that Will represents, do we have any established vacancies in that area?
I don't have that information with me. Okay. But yes, I'm sure we have vacancies.
All right.
I'm sorry, we're having a private conversation. You asked the question, and so I just asked if they were published, and Will said we can say that it's a thing.
So
you don't mind.
No, it's okay. So I've been in the department since 2007. And I know the climate of our school district drastically changed in 08, and we downsized. But advertised vacancies and our historic vacancies from that downsizing, while increasing square footage, we're 50 to 100 people shy in our department from where we used to be. So all that pressure is put onto our shoulders. And that is why we've started contracting out way more than we used to when I started. If that best and most accurately explains the question.
Thank you, Will.
So we actually do publish the vacancies when they come to us, but we have done some
downsizing, I think is fair to say. Yep.
Okay, so what I gathered tonight listening is pre-COVID we had over 500 in Schoolway Cafe. Where we're sitting at now is 200 and some. We clearly know where we're at with managers. Will just shared that from where we were in 2000, and we all know what happened in 2008, those of us that have been here a long time. But we also have added a lot of square footage since 2008. We could name all the schools that we've added. You're approximately 50 to 100 people down, so we are contracting outside. And as we well know, we've learned, contracting outside, whether it be for Schoolway Cafe with temp help or whether it be to do projects under that area, that always costs us more money than if we had it in-house. Bus drivers, what we know is pre-COVID, we had approximately 201 routes. And I think even at that time, some of those were overcrowded. I mean, because that's down from where I think we were even a few years before that. But that's at least 29 routes. But we are short drivers because we've got people doubling and tripling up. And yes, I understand absences. We don't have a lot of wiggle room. Attendance, we don't seem to really have how many were down there. But, you know, we've heard in some of the places where we need them, we don't have them. So here's where I sit. Anybody that knows me knows this. sitting here tonight because I'm speaking personally for myself, no one else on this board right now. I'm not speaking for the rest of the group. I'm out there, and I talk to these people. And I've done that for years. I've done that from the day I started as a classroom teacher. I always got to know my bus drivers and my schoolway cafe help and any maintenance people that came on campus, because it takes every one of them, as well as all the teachers out there, the paras, the office specialists, the administrators. It takes everybody working together to ensure every student gets the best education they can get. Here's where I'm very disheartened tonight. It was hard to sit here and hear a presentation that said there are no vacancies for bus drivers, because I know in my heart there are. I mean, just this week alone, the places that I have visited and the people that I have talked to and the work that I've seen them doing, they're working hard. And none of these individuals here tonight would be working as hard as what they are working if they didn't care about our students. Every one of them cares. You can't be a bus driver and put up with some of what they put up with. And look, we've watched it change over the years. And I'll be honest, I'll say it out loud. Parents need to start being parents, okay? I love parents, but you can't tell them, you can't excuse away behavior, all right? I was a parent. I didn't excuse away behavior. But every one of them makes a difference every day. And if they're not here, we're not going to get our kids transported and we're not going to get them fed. There's only so many of us to go fill in out there for these jobs. And the one thing I've said, I'll do any job except, I'm sorry, I'm 55. I'm going to be 56 in June. I own that. I am not getting my CDL license, all right? Love all of you, but I'm not doing it. I'll ride a bus as a bus attendant, but I'm not getting my CDL license. And I've driven the Volusia County vans. I've driven the bread truck out there over the years. I've done things like that. Hats off to bus drivers, though. And nothing against you, young lady, but we could have done a better job tonight, in my opinion, of presenting a true picture and not trying to say that there's zero, because we all know there's not zero. All right. So that's all I have to say right now.
Thank you. Mr. Persis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I also want to thank everyone for being here. What Ms. Haynes said, certainly, as far as our appreciation for all of you, I know that's how I feel. I know that's how all of us feel. And we've said it here many, many times. All this talk about new money and vacancies and comparisons with other districts, that'd be good information when we start to negotiate the next contract, the one that's going to start in just 3.5 months for fiscal year 2023. Tonight isn't that. Tonight is the time to set the salary schedule so that the AFSCME employees can receive the retro pay and a salary increase that they should have had from July 1st, 2021. So I think all this information, since it's fresh right now, we're getting new information, I think this is going to be very helpful as we go forward and do everything we can to reward our AFSCME employees in a fair and just manner. But that's for another day, and that's for negotiations, which I'm sure will start very soon. So, Mr. Chair, on that, and given that fact, I would move that this board, I would move that the superintendent's recommendation to resolve the disputed issue of the salary schedule be adopted by this board, as we previously agreed on, all of us, and the union and the district, we all agreed on to do this on October 14th of 2021. And fully set forth, and that would include that if they ratified it, that they would get their retro pay back to July 1st of 2021, and that this would take effect on the date of this hearing in accordance with the requirements of Florida Statutes, Section 447.403.
Thank you, Mr. Persis. Motion's been made by Mr. Persis. Is there a second? Motion dies for lack of a second. Board, time to go around the room and talk about proposals. And if anybody has any ideas and wants to start, please do. If not, I do have some ideas. Ms. Burnett?
Thank you. Ms. Knowles?
Yes.
I just have a question.
Sure.
And I mean this respectfully, so please don't take it anything but that. But when you were negotiating with the district for this contract and you agreed upon it, how did you know, or why did you agree upon it when we now know that your team didn't agree upon it? Where were you getting the information?
Because the district come back and they said that the board had directed them that that was their final and best offer, and if not, then we would go to impasse.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else?
You can go.
I have a question for Mr. West. There was a longevity bonus piece of this. Sorry, Mr. West, I know. There was a longevity piece to that. What did that look like? Because we've talked about the pay rate, but I'm curious what the additional monies that were agreed upon for longevity looked like.
So the longevity piece was, I'm sorry. The longevity piece was a piece that we actually agreed to and that the union had presented, and it had specifically to, come on. And that's not a part that's actually in question here, but
correct. I'm just to get a sure. Big picture of yeah. Where we are.
The longevity piece, and I don't have the chart in front of me, but it's based on the years of service and then a fixed amount per year. So I think it goes up to 400. I don't
can
have
I
it in front
answer?
Of me.
Okay, the longevity, what it is, the longevity amount that we were going to receive, that part didn't change. What we got changed in our contract was you had to be contracted 5 hours or more in order to receive it. So 90% of School A Cafe employees was never eligible to receive that. So I have been trying to negotiate that for several years to get it down to 4 hours or more so that they could receive longevity. And so that was the addition, that's what changed in longevity.
Right.
The amount per person did not change. That did not go up. It was just the how many hours you had to work in order to receive it. Because all these years, mostly School and Cafe has not received it.
So she's correct. That was the eligibility amount. So many more employees qualified for it.
But it was out
based
of,
on this
out
agreement. But the amount that we have paid historically, well, from the last contract to this contract, stayed the same.
So how much is that, and what are the years? I mean, I'm just,
sure.
And I realize that's not in question. Mr. Doran, is that even, I mean, are we talking about a whole compensation package, or are we just talking about what is at stake, which is the pay?
Yeah.
The pay. Okay, so we can't even touch longevity. Got it.
But as Cassie mentioned, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please.
The change from 4 to 5 only affects those in Schoolway Cafe, and that comes out of the federal funds.
Correct. Correct, but that's not in question tonight.
No.
It's not within our purview, so I can't consider that because that's something that you all have already agreed upon, and so that comes to us as such. You've got someone behind you there. All right, so we'll keep going. So, neighboring county, Seminole County, did similar to what the gentleman proposed. They did $2 an hour on their hourly rate. And what it ended up doing was it ended up ranging from 7.87% to 18%. Now, for a lot of these folks, and mind you, I realize we have mechanics, but as I think about all of the different levels, you know, the folks who are driving a bus have a CDL. So if we did 30% for our paraprofessionals who are not driving a bus, who don't have that certification, and not to mention the risk, I would say, although in some cases there's lots of risk for some of our paras, there's no question about that. So for Ruben, and I'm one, I don't see it because these folks, whether you're a mechanic, whether you're an air conditioning person, right now the reality is that they can go anywhere right now and work. And I'm not talking about the example of Buc-ee's because we all know that Buc-ee's pays $100 an hour. But I get it. Trust me. I hear Buc-ee's, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Hobby Lobby.
Amazon.
Everybody wants to talk about that.
Amazon.
So my thought, and this is why I said make up your mind, is just what you said, $1.50 an hour for everybody. Okay? And that's going to range in percentage because if you're, depending on what you're making, that's going to affect that percentage. And I would argue, and this is why I think of this, for a lot of these folks, they're either beyond the minimum wage. For a lot of them, we're going to have to get them there anyways. So let's start somewhere. Now, the dollar amount that I had written in my thing was $2 an hour, but I'm going to take your advice. Ladies and gentlemen, and again, these are the folks that represent you, and I mean this respectfully, because I can tell you this money is not here. I can tell you there's folks over there right now saying, what the heck is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because this is just the nature of the beast. Okay? But I want to do right by you guys. I don't know what this is going to cost. I have no idea. I have no idea what this is going to cost. But I value you all, and I want to spend the money in people. The district, we could figure out whether we buy buses, don't buy buses, buy this, don't buy that, spend this, don't do that. They'll have to figure out where they're going to get this money from. I have no idea what that's going to cost. But I believe that it's fair. It's exactly what your representation has proposed to us, which is different. And I called it out. I said, guy, you asked for $15 an hour, and then you said $1.50. Okay, well, I'll take your $1.50 because, again, I have no idea what this is going to cost us. But I can assure you it's more than the proposed amount that your representation agreed upon before. Because let me remind you, if you were making $10 an hour, you were going to get a dollar, which we were going to have to get you to that dollar by September next year anyways. So what are we talking about? So that is my proposal. I am one, and I will move to the next speaker, Ms. Cuthbert.
As you all can tell, we're all very torn because I think at the heart of many of us, you mean a great deal to us. Every time I pass a bus, I always check to see if I know the bus driver. The mechanics, I mean, have been a part of my life for the whole time I've been here. And it's always heartening to me. And I always feel guilty when I pass a white fleet on the road because they're always driving the speed limit. And the bus drivers are one of the safest people. Whether you're an attendant or a driver, you're one of the safest. Which brings us to very difficult decisions, decisions we don't want to make. We're at the end of the legislative session right now. It's supposed to end Friday. We don't know how much money we're going to be getting. They're working on the budget right now. We don't know if Volusia County is going to be punished because we did pass a mask mandate for a little while. I do know that some of the sponsors are saying that instead of punishing those 12 districts who did that, they're going to reward the other districts who didn't. They will get additional money. So we, as a board, we have two duties. We have two duties to the taxpayer, to our county, to everyone, and that is to be fiscally responsible as well as to create policy and follow protocol. So what I was listening to what Mr. Persis said, I think for this year, this 21-22 year, we need to stay the course what you bargained for. Do we really want that? Probably not. But we also have to be fiscally responsible because that has been budgeted. I would like, however, to add, to extend what Mr. Persis said, is that we have to make you a priority coming June, and I hope the sooner we get to the table, the better. We made a priority, and we have heard you can't spend the same dollar more than once. We made a priority. We made some very tough decisions to prioritize the classroom. We need to prioritize, what creates and makes that classroom function, and that's our bus drivers, our mechanics, our Schoolway Cafe, all the ones who surround it. And that, and I don't mean to demean VUE support, because they also support the classroom. We are very much aware that we are lacking our surrounding counties, but also our surrounding counties get a lot more money. I wish we could get the extra 3.5 cents in the basic student allocation that Seminole County gets, and their geographical area is half of ours, and it would be much nicer to go half the distance. I always worry about our bus drivers, and I heard the argument last year about the school calendar and driving while it's bike week, and it's very difficult. We're all walking on eggshells as well, and I was in the traffic in Port Orange Monday, and there were two accidents, and I was sitting at the corner of Williamson and Taylor, and I saw the buses on the south side. I was on the north side of Taylor, and I saw the buses on the south side, and I know where they had come from. They had just come from Creekside Middle School, and nobody was moving because the traffic was backed up, and people were trying to make turns and then blocking the intersections. And my heart went out because how much that happens. But I think what we can do is make you all a priority this time. Start right away, as soon as we can, our negotiating team. And that way we will have the result from the budget in the state legislature, how much can we put forward. Because we're very overextended right now. I do know ESSER funding is coming in, but ESSER funding is only for 2 or 3 years. And I most certainly don't want us to be hung up to dry that within 2 or 3 years, we don't know where that income's coming in. I don't know where the direction of the state legislature is going. I personally, and I don't speak from the board, I think they're a bit crazy right now. They're far beyond their means, and their overreach is tremendous. We boards in the state of Florida have the right to govern our own districts, and they keep tying our hands. Like, it would be nice to buy fewer buses. We have in the past to save money, but that's capital funds, and we can't switch that for salary. We're not allowed to. I wish we could. And that is the most difficult thing that we have before us. We have money in one side and money over here, but the money that we need is right here. And that's what we're fighting for, is money for salaries. So that's where I stand. And I certainly want you all to have the priority for when we negotiate coming up for 22, 23. But hopefully we can make this up to you.
Thank you, Ms. Cuthbert. Ms. Haynes?
Sorry.
Oh, excuse me, Ms. Burnett?
Thank you. I reiterate what you all have already said, but everybody's sitting here. You represent a great amount of employees here at Volusia County Schools, and you are very important. And there is tough decisions to be made, and I would be interested from our team to see what the $1.50 an hour total look like compared to what the proposed agreed upon what was looking like as well, just to see what we can do, because we do need to make people a priority. People are our assets. I would be interested.
So just to clarify and make sure I understand, what Mr. Colon was saying was $1.50 per hour for each employee on our current salary schedule, correct? Okay. And calculating it out, it looks like about $2.6 million, okay, addition. That's in lieu of the $1.262 million that our proposal originally was.
So it would be an addition to, no?
No, instead of 1.262, it would be 2.6 million.
So an additional
million.
So
$200,600,000.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Haynes.
So actually, Ms. Burnett just asked the question that I was going to ask because I knew that group was over there working on this. So what was offered was, as you said, 1.262.
Yes, ma'am.
Taking the current number of employees that are in this bargaining unit, mm-hmm, and increasing them by $1.50 per hour, mm-hmm, would bring us up to $2.6 million. So basically, it's a $1.4 million difference. So it's more than doubling what you had said was your last and final offer.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Mr. Persis?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know we're struggling. I get it. I know we are. But we have a duty. We have a duty to be fiscally responsible to the taxpayers. We have a duty when we tell a union that this is our final offer, that we're honest. We said that. Each of us, we communicated that to them, and they took us seriously. What kind of message are we sending now to other unions when we told them this was our final offer, and they took that message back to their members, and they ratified it? Otherwise, in the future, when we say this is our final offer, other unions will look back on this night and say, well, let's just declare impasse. Let's go to the boardroom. Let's fill up the gallery with our members. And let's see what the board does. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not want to get into that where we are. What we're doing is negotiating a salary schedule on the fly. Well, that's what we're doing here. We spent months getting to the point where this was our final offer. as we weighed the tough decisions with our other unions and members and trying to balance everything out so we're not just emotionally reacting to a group on a given night. We thought very thoroughly about every employee and tried to do what was right by all of them. And when we came up with this one on October the 14th of 2021, we thought long and hard about it, and each one of us was asked, are you sure? Is there anything you want to change? Is this our final offer? And as a group, we said, yes, it is, because at the time, that's the best we could do. I totally agree and support what you said. I think you said was that now that we have our teachers kind of bumped up to the 48.5 or 47.5 now, thank goodness, and that maybe this time around, given that the state knows, as the state knew, they had to bump the teacher's salary up. The state also knows we got to do something with bus drivers. Maybe there'll be a special allocation for pay for bus drivers because it's a statewide issue. I'm hoping so. But I believe right now to, on the fly, just say, yeah, we got another $1.5 million. Let's just do it. I think the taxpayers will look at us and say, you know, what is that board thinking? Come on. We know better. We know better. And we have that responsibility. And we just can't say things, and Mr. Chair, like, I want to give you $1.50, and I don't know how much it's going to cost. I know you wouldn't want to do that, but that's how it came out. Like me saying, I want to give you all a $5 an hour raise. I don't know how much it'll cost. Let's just do it. I mean, I can't. We just can't do that. We just can't now. So I think we need to adopt the salary schedule that we said we were going to adopt on October the 14th of 2021, and I hope they would ratify it, and I hope they'd get their retro pay, and I hope we could start negotiations again for the next year, next week. I mean, I am ready to go because I'm very sensitive to what you deserve, and I'm hoping that we can make it a priority as soon as possible.
So to explain my thought process, again, in my head I have an idea of what it's going to cost. But because we can't discuss it with the district, I can't drop a number and say I know what it's going to be because legitimately I couldn't ask Ms. Sneed ahead of time because of the process what this was going to cost. The job market has changed a lot from October to today. And so the decisions that we made in October are not relevant to today's job market. They're not relevant to the job market of, I'm not going to talk about Buc-ee's, I promise. But it's truly not. So my decision to make this, because you know what? Kids are getting to school half an hour late because of this. So this is twofold. This is how do we get more drivers? Okay, how do we stay competitive so that we can have, I mean, kids are getting to school late every day. Okay, it's not uncommon. My community is saying, my community is saying, why aren't the bus drivers getting paid? My community is saying, these bus drivers deserve the world. I can't believe they're making what they're making. So that's what my constituency is saying. And so the decision we made in October and the decision that we're faced with today, you know, I don't want these folks to go to Seminole County that's going to pay $16.53 an hour. And I live in Deltona, so that's not too far away. Not that I am in by any means, but that's the reality. And so I want my children in Deltona to get to school and have a bus driver because they have the same amount of vacancies we do. These folks have CDLs. They can go and Voltran. They could go, they could, I mean, there's places that they could go. And so for me, it's not where we were then and where we are now is two different worlds. And unfortunately, we're having to make this decision today. And so it's not in an irresponsible manner of saying, it's saying, hey, where are we today? What's going to help keep these folks here? What's going to tell them that we value that they've run these routes? What? And so that was my thought process.
I get you. And
thank you. Anybody else?
I just think the answer to that, and I agree with you, it's different today than it was in October, and that's why we, but this year is about over, as you know, school year. And that's why we should start the negotiations so that we could settle this for next year's contract before this year ends. You know what I'm saying? And I would love that.
Yeah.
So that they would know what their hourly rate would be and salary increase would be.
Thank you. I will pass the gavel. I'd like to make a motion that we increase all folks in this bargaining unit to $1.50 an hour. And that is my motion.
I'll second it.
With the chair.
All right, we have a motion on the floor by Mr. Colon to increase everyone that's in the AFSCME bargaining unit by $1.50 an hour. We have a second by Mrs. Burnett. Any further discussion?
Yes.
Ms. Cuthbert.
I think all of our hearts are there. We want to be there. But we don't have the budget yet from the state legislature. We don't know what our income's going to be for this year, this coming year. Where's this money going to come from? I mean, I would love to give it away. I mean, I would love to. Where is that money going to come from?
Mrs. Sneed.
Hi. Thank you for asking that question. Because right now, this is definitely way more than we budgeted, and we are waiting for more information. In fact, on the third calculation that came down, we're losing money because the money is going to Florida Empowerment Scholarship. So there is a reason that there's a process and that we have to be able to put all of the numbers and model it out to see how it impacts us. So I would just ask that if you make this decision, you allow leniency for the financial condition ratio, because I can't tell you tonight that I can meet the benchmarks you're giving me if you're changing the numbers by double. And I would, you know, we are getting close to the end of the fiscal year, so we're going to be looking at the third quarter. We're going to have more information from the state soon, you know, and we're in a, I mean, I need time to actually work on the budget, not just work on bargaining, because I need to be able to model things and see what the impacts really are and make sure that we stay in the financial condition that you want us to be in and that the state requires us to be in.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Sneed. This is what we have to think of. We have our end of the school year. Fiscal year is June 30th. Okay, we don't know what our state legislature is going to do to us, what our BSA is. This has already been, the money that we had for the contract has already been budgeted to add another $1.4 million onto that after we just did the non-bargaining. We have to be fiscally responsible. It doesn't come out of the thin air. It has to be on a spreadsheet. And as much as we want to do this, this is what's so very difficult. And I think the district wants to do the same thing, which is why I said, let's start negotiations if at all possible. And I know there are a lot of job fairs coming up. There's transfer fairs coming up. There's a lot of work for HR to do. So it would be nice if the union could start talking with our negotiating team to start setting up dates now. And so we know what's coming up ahead of time so we can, so Ms. Sneed has time to create how much money we would have available so we can say, we have this much money available,
We can do this. You're our priority. We have board direction that is the priority this time. We have to do that, but we also want to be able to pay that same raise next year and the year after and the year after that. It has to be stable and sustainable. You depend upon that paycheck. They haven't bounced, and I think they could. We're going to be in a financial – unencumbered – what is it? The fiscal
– the financial condition ratio.
Well, the financial condition ratio, but what is it when you – unfunded balance. Yeah, the unfunded balance is going to take a nosedive. So, because you're going to have to budget, and who knows how much other stuff that is going to be increasing when it comes to FRS. And you know, it's just, there are too many variables that could put us in jeopardy. That's, you know, so we're talking, I'm sorry I'm the one that has to say this. I have to look at the numbers. I've always been a numbers person, but we have to look at our budget. We can't go over it. It's going to hurt the district in the long run. But please, let's get started on this priority as soon as possible, as soon as we can. If you can start your talks, like just say we're going to meet May 1st, May 15th, we can get this ball rolling. It'll give her time to get our budget set up. We will know how much money we're going to have allocated to our school district. That way we can be sure and say it may be $2.50 an hour, not $1.50 an hour. And that way we know we will have the money and we can start, you ratify it, and maybe the pay can start July 1st. Wouldn't that be nice?
No. Excuse me. Thank you.
But that new increase could start that early.
All right, we have a motion and we have a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay.
No. No.
The motion passes 3-2.
Thank you.
The meeting is adjourned.